Now, why is that? Let's take a quick look at something to kind of explain it. We're going to talk about static electricity. Mm-hmm. You walk across the rug, reach for the doorknob, and zap. You get a static shock. Mm-hmm. Like you used to do your little brother. You rub your feet on the carpet and again go touch him and pow. I told you, little maggot, to stop bothering me. And that's how you used to punish your little brother. You know, you see that spark come out your hand. And people think like, what are you? Some kind of a, a wizard or something? Or you come inside from the cold, pull off your hat and static hair. Your hair will stand up. Yeah. You know, you want to scare somebody, just rub on the carpet or come in on the cold and take your hat off and come in the room. The static electricity makes your hair stand straight out from your head. What is going on here? And why is static more of a problem in the winter? To understand static electricity, we have to learn a little bit about the nature of matter, or in other words, what is all the stuff around us made of? Imagine a pure gold ring, divide it in half and give one of the halves away. Keep dividing and dividing and dividing. Soon you'll have a piece so small you will not be able to see it without a microscope. It may be very, very small, but it's still a piece of gold. So you take a piece of gold, start chopping it up until you get to such a fine particle of gold that you can't even see it with the human eye, but you can see it through a microscope, but it's still gold. It didn't change state. It just got smaller. If you could keep dividing it into smaller and smaller pieces, you would finally get to the smallest piece of gold possible. It is called an atom. If you divide it into a smaller piece, it would no longer be gold. In other words, if you go past the place where it's an atom, it's no longer gold. Because all matter is made up of atoms. Mm-hmm. Now, you go and ask a scientist about this. Now, physicists can explain to you all about the atomic particles and all the molecules and everything. But you ask them this one question, they can't answer. Where did this come from? Well, we just studied the physics of it all. We don't know where it came from because they don't know. You know where it came from? It came from Almighty God.
That's right.
And the human mind can understand the physics of the environment and matter, and anything that has mass on Earth has atomic structure. That wooden cabin, atoms. This rug, atoms. Everything is made up of atoms. Now that's important. Everything around us is made up of atoms, and scientists so far know of 118 different kinds. These different kinds of atoms are called elements. There are 98 elements that exist naturally, although some are only found in very small amounts. Four of these 118 elements have reportedly been discovered but have not been confirmed. Atoms join together in many different combinations to form molecules and create all of the materials you see around you. Now, you went to school and you studied all this stuff in your classes about molecules and atoms and all this other stuff. We're not going to get too deep into it because we want to stay sane. So what are atoms made of? In the middle of each atom is a nucleus. See, Shonda has some medical training. She knows this stuff. The nucleus contains two kinds of tiny particles called protons and neutrons. Orbiting around the nucleus are even smaller particles called electrons. The 115 kinds of atoms are different from each other because they have different numbers of protons, neutrons, and electrons. It is useful to think of a model of the atom as similar to the solar system. The nucleus is in the center of the atom, like the sun in the center of the solar system. The electrons orbit around the nucleus like the planets around the sun. Just like in the solar system, the nucleus is large compared to the electrons. The atom is mostly empty space, and the electrons are very far away from the nucleus. While this model is not completely accurate, we can use it to help us understand static electricity. Electrical charges. Protons, neutrons, and electrons are very different from each other. They have their own properties or characteristics. One of these properties is called an electrical charge. Protons have what we call a positive charge. Electrons have a negative charge. Neutrons have no charge. They are neutral. The charge of one proton is equal in strength to the charge of one electron. When the number of protons in an atom equals the number of electrons, the atom itself has no overall charge. It is neutral. So if you got the protons equaling the neutrons, you got a neutrally charged atom, because one does not outweigh the other. There's not more neutrons than protons. I mean, there's not more electrons than protons. So you got an equilibrium, so it's neutral. The protons and neutrons in the nucleus are held together very tightly. Normally, the nucleus does not change, but some of the outer electrons are held very loosely. They can move from one atom to another. An atom that loses electrons has more positive charges than negative charges. So if you lose electrons, you have more positive charges than negative charges, because the electrons are negative. In other words, if you got equilibrium and you lose electrons, then the atom's going to be positive because you left it with more protons because electrons left. Remember, electricity is determined by the movement of electrons. Mm-hmm. An atom that loses electrons has more positive charges, protons, than negative charges, electrons. It is positively charged. An atom that gains electrons has more negative than positive charges. It has a negative charge. In other words, if you have an atom and it loses electrons, but the electron moves to another atom and gives it more electrons, that atom now becomes negatively charged because it has more electrons than protons. A charged atom is called a what? Shonda? See, if you fail the test, Shonda, that's it. We thought you were going to graduate next semester, but you'll be held back. A charged atom is called an ion. Some materials hold their electrons very tightly. Electrons do not move through them very well. These things are called insulators. Insulators are plastic, cloth, glass, and dry air. Other materials have some loosely held electrons which move through them very easily. So an insulator is something that does not transmit electrons very well. That's why the man working on the power wire can wear rubber, because he's insulated. Electrons can't move through him, so he can't get shocked. Absolutely. These are called conductors. Most metals are good conductors. If you can move electrons through it, it's a conductor. That's why you got wires running through your house insulated by plastic, because the wires are conducting the electrons. That's what's lighting up your house. That's what's causing the heat to come on. Everything in your house is powered by the movement of electrons. How can we move electrons from one place to another? One very common way is to rub two objects together. You ever put clothes in a dryer and they come out charged? Mm-hmm. That happened because they rubbed together in the dryer and they touched each other. Mm-hmm. Now, you could just touch them together and you'll get static electricity, but when you rub them, you create friction that's amplifying the static. One very common way is to rub two objects together. If they are made of different materials and are both insulators, electrons may be transferred and moved from one to the other. The more rubbing, the more electrons move, and the larger the static charge that builds up. Scientists believe that it's not the rubbing of friction that causes electrons to move. It's the simple contact between different materials. Rubbing just increases the contact area between them. Static electricity is the imbalance of positive and negative charges. Now, positive and negative charges behave in interesting ways. Did you ever hear the saying that opposites attract? Well, it's true. Two things with opposite or different charges, a positive and a negative, will attract or pull towards each other. Things with the same charge, two positives or two negatives, will repel or push away from each other. A charged object will also attract something that is neutral. Think about how you can make a balloon stick to the wall. If you charge a balloon by rubbing it on your hair, just rub it on your hair, it will pick up extra electrons from your hair, and it'll have a negative charge then. Holding it near a neutral object will make the charges in that object move. If it is a conductor, many electrons move easily to the other side as far from the balloon as possible. If it is an insulator, the electrons in the atoms and molecules can only move very slightly to one side away from the balloon. In either case, there are more positive charges closer to the negative balloon. Opposites attract. The balloon sticks, at least until the electrons of the balloon slowly leak off. It works the same way for neutral and positively charged objects. So what does all this have to do with static shocks or static electricity in the hair? When you take off your wool hat, it rubs against your hair. Electrons move from your hair to the hat. A static charge builds up, and now each of the hairs has the same positive charge. Remember, things with the same charge repel each other. So the hairs try to get as far away from each other as possible. The farthest they can get is by standing up away from the others, and that is how static electricity causes a bad hair day. So all your hair has a positive charge. Those positive charges are going to repel each other, so your hair tries to run from each strand. Isn't that, look, this is a, this place down here is terrifying. Because God has energized the world with his word. His words carry what? Power. 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 You don't want to fool around with God. You don't want to fool around with God. The very matter that makes your body, your hair, everything you move in is molecular. The air we breathe, everything has a molecular structure. See, what scientists and physicists do, they create equations for everything. For like atomic fusion or fission and all of that. What's the old equation? E equals mc squared, I think it is, for energy or whatever. See, that's an equation that explains things like nuclear fusion and all of that kind of stuff. If you see these long equations on your teacher's blackboard with all these symbols, you're looking at, what is all of that garbage? All it is the human mind taking information that is researched and is, you know, they come with a hypothesis, a theory, and research proves it to be valid. So they make an equation up to explain it. Now they'll make the stuff up and give it a name. They'll call it, you know, like distance. They'll say D2 is distance squared. See, they're just telling you. They'll tell you how electricity will lose power over distance, and they'll explain it through an equation. So everything that looks like gibberish to us is actually the scientific jargon for explaining physics and things that we sitting here don't understand. I don't even know if you want to understand it, because your mind is just trying to figure out how to pay a gas bill or something. You know, I don't need this. Surprise, I don't want to hear this junk. Look, I'm going somewhere. If you just stay in the back of the car as I'm driving, I'll take you somewhere. Just stay in the car. The human mind has become so bathed in entertainment that we don't engage our minds anymore to learn anything about God. We want to see shouting and jumping and preaching and tuning up. And we never know anything about God. You get entertained all the time. That's the devil's trick. Yeah. It's folks right now who cannot hear what I'm saying because they're used to church entertainment. Folks are run to the internet after I say this, trying to look up stuff to know something about it, to try to tell somebody, knowing they don't understand it. Mm-hmm. Stop. Mm-hmm. Sit down and let God metamorphosize you and transform your mind through interactions with him. Stop trying to tell everybody something that you don't really understand and trying to be an expert on God. You can't become an expert on God. This is a being with no beginning, no ending. You can't know God. So stop trying to know God. Coming out, I have a degree in theology. I know everything about God. You can't know everything about God, a limitless mind. What's that symbol for infinity, an 8 on his side? It just, mm-hmm. An 8, it just loops, it loops and goes back in. That's God. He's infinite. As soon as you think you got something figured out, I didn't tell you this part though. Then you got that figured out, but oh yeah, I left out this. And I was going to tell you that, but you ran before I got through talking to you. And you will never get to the end of God. Stop trying to be an expert on God. It's something about pride in a human that's trying to know everything about God. How could you possibly know anything about an infinite being? No, look, no beginning, no ending. That right there leaves you with your mouth hanging open. Well, where did God come from? Don't you know that's why scientists cooked up the Big Bang Theory for the universe? Because they can't explain it. So what did they do? They came up with a theory to try to explain it. The intricate wiring of a human, fearfully and wonderfully made. A scientist can't explain that. A doctor can only go so far. A doctor will tell you a lot of times, we can't cure this. We don't know. We don't know what's causing it. Because they have what? Limitations. Limitations. And I'm going to show you now, when I get into the core of the message, I'm going to show you how God can supersede all of this stuff and fix anything. See, God can fix anything. You know why he can fix it? Because he made it. What nut would make something they can't fix? Wouldn't that be stupid? Look, y'all, I made this. I made this machine. Well, it's broken down. I don't know how to fix it. I made it now. But I don't know. Yeah, if you made it, you ought to be able to go back to it and re-examine it and find out what the flaw is, because you designed it and made it. All right, now. When we rub two different materials together, which become positive charge and which becomes negative, scientists have ranked materials in order of their ability to hold or give up electrons. This ranking is called the triboelectric series. A list of some common materials is shown below. Under ideal conditions, if two materials are rubbed together, the one higher on the list should give up electrons and become positively charged. So you got materials that got diverse degrees of electrons and protons and things of that nature. And it'll tell you which one to rub together should give up the electrons. So you got your hand. Now this is something else. This is the stuff that can be rubbed on something to give up electrons and stuff. Your hand, glass, your hair, nylon, wool, fur, silk, paper, cotton, hard rubber, polyester, and polyvinyl chloride plastic, whatever that is. Now, who would ever think that if Wesley was to rub his hand on Naomi's hair, that there's transference of electrons going on? That's kind of crazy, creepy or something. You're like, that's kind of spooky, man. If I rub Omar's sweater, there are electrons moving between us. So you see if I can blow him. I'm trying to see if Omar catch on fire. You go in the woods and do what? It's cold.
Yeah.
Get some sticks and rub them. You know what's happening?
Friction.
Creating heat. You ever seen Castaway? The guy, I made fire. Fire. From nowhere, this guy had fire burning from rubbing wood together and blowing on it with air and all of that. The atmosphere is charged with the ability to make heat, light, and energy is all around us all the time. This is scary. Look, this is a very, very scary place. Conservation of charge. When we charge something with static electricity, no electrons are made or destroyed. No new protons appear or disappear. Electrons are just moved from one place to another. The net or total electric charge stays the same. In other words, you got an amount of electrons in one thing and an amount of electrons in another, protons in one, protons in another. All you get is movement. The net remains the same because you didn't create electrons or protons. They just moved. The electrons just moved. And the movement of the electrons will make a thing positive or negative. You see what I'm saying? If you got two neutral things and electrons move from one to the other, then when the electrons move from one thing that was neutral to the other thing, this became positive, and wherever the electrons moved to became negative, because the electrons carry what? A negative charge. And then when the electrons leave, the positive charge, the protons, become the major part of that atom, so therefore that becomes positive. So you're changing something from positive to negative just by movement of electrons. Coulomb's law. You ever heard of that?
Mm-hmm.
Man, Omar knows how. I'm gonna hang around with Omar, man. Let's go wire something, man. I wanna go. When you wire something again, man, I wanna go. This right here, man, I kinda like this. Charged objects create an invisible electric force field around themselves. The strength of this field depends on many things, including the amount of charge, distance involved, and shape of the objects. This can become very complicated. We can simplify things by working with point sources of charge. Point sources are charged objects which are much, much smaller than the distance between them. Charles Coulomb first described electric field strengths in the 1780s. He found that for point charges, the electrical force varies directly with the product of the charges. In other words, the greater the charges, the stronger the field, and the field varies inversely with the square of the distance between the charges. Woo-hoo-hoo. This means that the greater the distance, the weaker the force becomes. This can be written as the formula, and they give a formula that looks like something that was written in Aramaic or something. And it says, this example you can use, like a light bulb can use a balloon to light up. Man, you can bend a stream of water using this power. Like if you make it, you change in the molecular structure of the water, you can make the water flow bend. You remember how that guy used to bend spoons and stuff? What was his name? Who? What was his name? Huh? Yeah, the guy would make a, he could be on Johnny Carson making spoons bend by rubbing the side of the spoon and stuff. Scary, man. This is a scary place. You walk across a rug and reach for a door, no, zap. You get a shock. Did you ever ask why? What is static electricity, etc.? Everything we see is made up of tiny particles called atoms. And the electrons and neutrons make them, but this is the same thing. If two things are driven, they're attracted to pull towards each other. Okay. All right, so let's give an overview. Electrons, protons in an atom, and neutrons. Neutrons, electrons, protons. Neutrons and protons are inside of the what?
The nucleus.
The nucleus, and electrons
in the outer
orbit.
In the orbit
the atom. That's the thing you see. Like you see a drawing of an atom a lot of time, you see the nucleus there, and they have that little dot circling around like it's orbiting the atom. Mm-hmm. Everything contains this. Everything you see, touch, everything in your body, you got chemicals in your body that contain electrons and made up of atomic molecules. You got niacin in you. You got hydrogen in you. You got tiny trace elements of all kinds of stuff. You know, talk about trace elements. That's why you take vitamins and nutrients. You ever had drinks that they said it got electrolytes in it? All it is pouring this stuff into you to increase cell functions and stuff like that. A lot of drinks that you drink before you exercise are designed to give you energy because this stuff is operating to give you power. It's fueling you. It's like fuel that you run off of. So all of these things are happening all the time. And atoms are very scary because you can get powerful things happening when you join atoms together. Yeah. You get the right atomic structure in a particular material, and you can blow something up. Mm-hmm. Whether they're using an atomic bomb, uranium-235 and uranium-238. It's two-ways to create a bomb, through fusion or fission. Nuclear fusion, you do what?
Put two of them together.
You join them together. Now, you find very few things that run off of fusion, because fusion is hard to control. It's so much heat produced. But you got a company here in America now that's trying to cause fusion to happen without all the damage and the heat production, so as to create power. You can power an entire cities with nuclear fusion. Most of the nuclear power plants we see now weren't run off of nuclear fission, which is the dividing of an atom. And it's running off of uranium. It gets hot. Hot. That's why you have all the what they call the fuel rods that hold the uranium in water. And it creates what? Nuclear waste, because it's turning out all these electrons. All this stuff is happening, man. When you split atoms, all this power is released. How does the sun work? The sun works from nuclear fission. It's atoms being split. That's why the sun is so hot. Mm-hmm. It just keeps splitting every second, y'all, seconds and milliseconds. That's what you see. That's why it's burning. Mm-hmm. Who did that?
God
did that. Physicists can study what he did. They can't explain the why. Mm-hmm. Where did it come from? How is the sun up there and this is happening? Who's controlling it? Who's controlling it? God could get the sun to be so hot that it burned up everybody on this planet. Mm-hmm. And I forget how many miles away the sun is from Earth.
Light years.
You know what I'm saying? And you're talking about 110 degrees in the desert and 90 degrees in Florida in the summer. It gets up to 100 degrees in Atlanta sometimes in the summertime. Mm-hmm. I go to Florida, I thought I was black. Come back like Kiwi shoe polish, you know. If God took the governors away from the physical environment, he would destroy this place. So it's balanced. Weather systems are controlled by what? The jet stream. The jet stream drives weather systems. Did you know that? When you see it get real cold, what has happened? The jet stream is dipped what? South. Allowing cold air from the Arctic to come south. When the jet stream goes north, what happens? The hot air from the equator is pulled up north and it gets real hot. The jet stream is the driver behind weather system. Who controls that? God. So if you take all the physical elements on earth and study them, you can get an understanding of God and his power. You got to consider the elements because his power is like the elements. If you understand the elements, you can understand God. And guess what? Just like your light in your living room, you can plug into the power flow and it'll turn you on. But guess what? If the wires that are hot touch neutral or ground, you'll get a circuit that's going to break. And the power's going to do what? Shut off. What has happened to the church? Circuit breakers have been thrown. Circuit breakers are blown. We got no power. What caused the circuit breakers to blow? 2 Timothy chapter 2. Here we go. 2 Timothy chapter 2. You know, this life on earth is interesting. If you just back out of the religious rat race, church anarchy, and all this stuff and the hype going on and all the entertainment, and set your mind like an athlete and a soldier. Make this a military thing with God, that you're going through the training necessary to be a productive soldier in his army. And you'll stop all the foolishness. Some conversations you just won't have. You won't look at the more worldly stuff because I don't hear that junk. I'm here to be forged into a vessel for God. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that you have heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who should be able to what?
Teach
others also. You know the Bible says in another place, don't let there be many teachers amongst us. Because you'll receive what? The greater condemnation. So all you folks jumping up on live stream and YouTube and posting on the internet trying to teach people, you better know as you teach that once saved, always saved stuff, diverting people away from the truth, you're going to receive the greater condemnation. Don't let there be many teachers because you're going to answer for every idle word that proceeds out of your mouth. You can't take on the discipline of teaching other people not knowing what you're instructing them. Worst thing you'll ever have in the university systems and in the colleges you go to is a professor that's ignorant of the data. That's a monstrosity. That's a mess. You got somebody trying to teach you that's not made into a vessel fit for the Holy Ghost to do what? Flow through. See, the vessel must accommodate the Holy Ghost for the flow to come through the vessel. It's all about the electrons moving through you, the flow of the current. You therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangles himself with what? The affairs of this life. That word for life is the Greek word bios. Biological life. You don't get caught up in the affairs of maintaining biological existence. Your first effort is not to maintain life on earth, that it may please him who has called him or chosen him to be a soldier. And if a man also strive for mastery, yet is he not crowned except he strive lawfully. The husbandman, the gardener, that laborers must be first partaker of the fruits. Before you begin to produce a garden after your own kind, you must first bear the fruit that you're trying to produce. You can't produce love without love in you. You can't produce joy if you have no joy. You can't bring peace unless you're subject to the Prince of Peace. Goodness, gentleness, long-suffering, temperance, faith cannot be replicated and reproduced from you unless you've been a partaker of those fruits yourself. Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. Remember, 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 recall. To remember something, you got to know it one time before. Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed, that word in the Greek, the sperma, Jesus Christ, who came from the sperm of David, was raised from the dead according to my gospel. How did he come from the sperm of David? Because Mary came from David's lineage. That's what he's saying. Jesus Christ wasn't conceived by David's sperm, but the woman that carried him came from David's lineage. Wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds, but the word of God is not bound. Therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. It is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, here, now what do we have here? A conditional statement. It's a faithful saying that if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. So if we be dead with him, we'll live with him. If we suffer with him, we'll reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. Let me reiterate that. He says, if you don't stand before me and stand before my Father acknowledging me, I'll also not acknowledge you. If you deny him, he'll deny you. If I deny him, he'll deny me. If we believe not, yet he abides faithful, he cannot deny himself. Of these things, put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers. Now that's what we get on Facebook all the time. Striving about words to subvert or turn away the hearers, to convince them that they should follow what you say and give credence to your words. That's a filthy spirit right there, buddy. That's a dirty, low down, filthy spirit. Because it doesn't have anything to do with Christ. It's just trying to be somebody that's looked up to and glamorized and worshiped by people who don't know. They prey on babes in God. They prey on the people who are just getting saved who don't know. They know those people have carnal minds, and they try to convince them through about a bunch of swelling words, the Bible says, feigned words of wisdom, trying to convince and subvert them, not convert them, subvert them, turn them away from Christ toward themselves. Simon the sorcerer, Elimaeus the sorcerer. Study to show yourself approved. So that means you have to personally undertake your own self-study. Don't fool around with people. Study to show yourself approved, so that when somebody's teaching you, you have a foundation laid in you because you have your own study time. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Rightful divination of the word is totally, totally necessary. You got to rightly divide the word. You got to rightly cut it up to know the hidden meanings and know the different schematics and how it applies. Some parts of the Bible are tempered by other parts of the Bible. Some parts of the Bible are modified by other parts of the Bible. And some parts of the Bible are deleted by other parts of the Bible. Did you know that? That's why you got to be able to rightly divide it. The word says it, I believe it, and that settles it. That's usually a little baby talking. Because it's not that simple. You got to have the study in, the prayer in, the fasting in, the time spent. You got to be brought up under the elders in God's economy, under his government, to know the nuances and all the dictates and all the little variables. There are all kind of little idiosyncrasies and little things about the Bible that are important. You leave those things out and you'll be misguided. Never deal with a novice in the Bible, because they tend to just have surface thinking involved. They don't know the deeper things of God, and they don't relate to him at that level. It's not a proud thing. It's about the years of preparation, spending time with God, walking with God, and talking to God to understand the revelations of his word. But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. And their word will eat as doth a canker, like cancer, like a tumor is eating away at you. Of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, concerning the truth have committed error, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some. You see how once saved, always saved can be detrimental? It'll make you relax and you'll stop fighting the good fight of faith. You'll stop pressing in. You'll stop pushing in. You'll stop undergirding your salvation with a fight. If the apostle Paul says, I keep under my body, I stay under my body, I buffet my body, lest after having preached the gospel, I become a castaway. How can you preach once saved, always saved, when the man who wrote almost the whole New Testament told you he can become a castaway? I'm perfectly logical. It's not even debatable. I don't have anything to talk about with these people that believe that stuff. You're wrong. There's nothing to discuss. There's no disagreement. We just disagree or choose to disagree on this because it's not a significant part of the gospel. That's the lie they try to tell you to in order to synthesize with the church and sneak in. Well, it's not a salvation issue. It is. Because you'll cause people to relax in Zion and think I've arrived and I can't lose it. It's a damnable doctrine. It's a doctrine of devils. And a lot of folks have gone to hell getting up from a bed of fornication, yeah, thinking they can't be damned. I had a friend, used to date a girl that was a church girl. Said, we lay up and have sex. And she said, get up now. Get up, let's pray. He said, for what? Well, we got to pray when we sin. You got to keep praying because we're sinning, but... You know, God knows my heart and knows our heart. So we fornicate and pray. I told him, I said, listen, man, you better get as far away from her as you can. But that's the kind of mind you'll develop in these false doctrines. You'll be out there shacking up. They go to church every, people go to church every Sunday shacking up, fornicating, committing adultery, smoking more dope than law allows, drinking like mad dogs, like a fish. Doing, you name a sin. Yeah. porno, crack in church, in the choir. They're preaching. They're leading the praise and worship. Homosexuals, lesbians. Church is full of this stuff. But I've been saved. Once saved, always saved. You can't lose it. I'm here to tell you, you've already been driven into madness. Yeah. I'm trying to get you back from a state of madness to come back to sanity. If the Apostle Paul says he can become a castaway, what makes you believe you can't? Stop kidding yourself. Look what he says. Nevertheless, the foundation of God stands sure, having this seal. The Lord knows them that are his, and let everyone that names the name of Christ do what? Depart from iniquity. So how in the world are you living in sin, saying you're saved, when he told you depart from all iniquity? But in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, if the vessels of honor purge themselves from the vessels of dishonor, then you shall be a vessel unto honor. What's the word? Sanctified and meet for the master's use and prepared unto every good work. What does sanctified mean? To make holy, to consecrate, to purify, and the best word of all, to insulate. Insulation stops the power wire, the hot wire, from touching the neutral and the ground. What's the neutral wire? It's the Christian that ain't got any fervor, ain't got no salvation. They're the vessels of dishonor. What's the ground wire? It's the world. So you separate from the world and the Christians that ain't going where you're going to sanctify yourself. Because you want to stay what? Hot. I'm burning hot, man. I'm hooked up to the main power plant. And I'm bringing in heat. I'm coming in hot. And I can't allow you to do what? Trip my circuit breaker. You cut off my power, man, interacting with you. Y'all can't see this. Yeah. Buddy, I see it. Don't nobody else in the world see this, Lord. I see it, Lord. I receive it for me. Yes, Lord. I'm trying to tell y'all. I'm talking about me. I see this. Yes. Look at this. You'll be sanctified and meet for the master's use and prepared unto every good work. Why? Because you're not grounded out. You didn't get a ground fault. And you didn't trip a circuit breaker because I insulated myself. I'm sanctifying myself. Flee also youthful lust, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. But foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strife. Get off of that stinking, stupid Facebook. Liking everybody's stupid, silly comment because you agree with it. Well, as soon as you agree with it, guess what? You became a part of it. It got you. I spend 95% of my time pushing folk back away from stuff that's about to bind them. Say, man, look. Stay away from that garbage. It's going to bind you. Folks' minds are just looking to be bound because they still try to be friends with folk, try to understand them. Price is so mean-spirited. He's so cruel. He's so heartless. I'm telling you, if you want heat coming through you and you want to be hot, my job is to make sure you don't get grounded out because you're going to break the circuit. Foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing they do gender strife. When folks ask those stupid open-ended questions on the internet, don't get in that conversation. It's there to do what? Gender strife. When folk try to point you to some old junk in the world, it's trying to turn you back to the world. And you saying, amen, praise the Lord. Yeah, that is good information. He got the devil got you. That fast he got you. He put a yoke around your neck. He said, I don't think it's a big deal. You better make it a big deal if you want to make it in. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves. Now they're against themselves. If God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may do what? Recover themselves out of the snare of the devil. It's a snare. Now, what does the word snare remind you of? A hunter, a trap. It's something that you step into unaware. You didn't see it. You didn't see it. You walking through the jungle, and he got it covered up with leaves, and as soon as you put your foot in it, it grabs you and yokes you and pulls you up 20 feet above ground, hanging from a tree. And you up there yelling, "Help! Get me down!" So you get snared, and you can't get yourself out a lot of times because you got snared. May recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. How can the devil take you captive at his will whenever he chooses to? Because you still got flesh in you. You still got an inquiring mind. And the worst thing you can ever have, you know what it is? You know the worst thing you can have? A friend. A carnal friend that you keep on trying to fellowship with and trying to understand.
That's right.
And they keep dragging you back to their carnal trash.
That's right.
You better learn one thing real fast in this. You better learn how to walk by yourself. How can two walk together?
Yes,
lest they be agreed.
That's right.
You're not doing them a favor trying to downgrade your salvation to accommodate them. You should challenge them to come up higher.
That's right.
Normally when they're calling, don't want to break free from the world, they start calling you self-righteous, holier than thou, brainwashed by that price guy, better than everybody. All this stuff they try to call you is because you don't want to be subject to the world, the flesh, and the devil and get grounded out. Circuit breaker just popped. God has built in circuit breakers in your life. You know why? He don't want the house to burn up. God flowing to you with power. No flesh can do what?
Glory
in his presence. He'll destroy you. God's willingness not to manifest himself is an act of what?
Mercy
and grace. Because I'll kill everybody within 30 miles of here if I come through here. Our God is a consuming fire.
That's right.
Isn't that the mercy and grace for God not to manifest in the church? He killed everybody in here. Ananias and Sapphira grabbed hold of what? A live wire,
yeah.
But they didn't have on no rubber boots. They didn't have on no insulators. They stood before the Holy Ghost, lying in the manifest presence of God, and they're dead within 15 seconds. You touched a live wire. The apostle said, "You didn't lie to me. You lied to the Holy Ghost this time." And they dropped dead on the spot. Everybody comes to church don't understand. This is headed somewhere. It's headed toward manifest presence. Because you'll have what? Manifested sons. That means you got the circuitry wired right. You separate and insulate it. And guess what he's going to do? He's going to light you up. He's going to light you up. And I'm going to show you how to stay lit up. All right. Matthew chapter 4. I like this Bible. I like everything about the Bible. I love the Bible. The Bible's beautiful. And the one that wrote it is beautiful. Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4. Let's see if that's right. Let's see here. Let's see. Now when Jesus, Matthew chapter 4, verse 12. Now when Jesus had heard that John was cast into the prison, he departed into Galilee. And leaving Nazareth, he came and dwelt in Capernaum, which is upon the sea coast in the borders of Zebulun and Naphtali, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali by the way of the sea beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people which sat in darkness saw great what?
Light.
Light. And to them which sat in the region and shadow of death, light is sprung up. From that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, repent, turn away from this world, the flesh, and the devil, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. So you see now, the kingdom of heaven is right here. It's right here. It's right up on us. It's not distant. The kingdom of heaven is not a long way away. It's within you. If God can get the inside of us right to make us appliances that can plug into the wall socket and complete that circuit when that on switch is thrown, you'll light up like a 10,000 watt spotlight and you become the light of the world. Remember, Jesus told the disciples, you are the light of the world. Look at Matthew 5. Matthew 5, this light now. Matthew 5, verse 13. You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt have lost his savor, what is savor?
Flavor,
taste. If the salt has lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing but to cast out and be trodden under foot of men. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it gives light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Lights. We're supposed to be lit up. The Bible calls it glorification. Glorified. And when you're glorified, guess who the spotlight shines on? Your Father. You're lighting up the Father. It's the same thing that Lucifer did before he fell. Glorify thy name upon the earth. Then Jesus prayed the Father, Father, glorify thy name. He says, I have both glorified it and I will glorify it again. We're supposed to be lit up. But somewhere these circuit breakers have been tripped. And we got to get these circuit breakers pushed back in to get these lights turned on. Look at John chapter 1. And buddy, this time when these lights come on, it's going to be on and popping, Jack. And my name ain't even Jack. John chapter 1. Verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the what?
Light,
light of men, the Greek word phos. We get the word phosphate from it. It means luminous, bright, enlightened. This is the light of man. The life is the what? The life is the light. That word for life is Zoe. What's he referring to? The Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is the what of God? Think about electricity.
Electrons.
Electrons is the current. Remember, the electrons flow in the current. When you get electrons standing still, they're electrons. When you get electrons moving, it become what?
Current.
What flows in a river? Current. Current. Can't you see? Holy Ghost power flows. Flows. That's why he wants you to be a what? a vessel fit for the master to flow through. It makes perfect sense, man. This thing makes so much sense. I'm about ready to dive out this window behind me and start running down the street yelling. He wants you to plug in, power up, so I can flow through you. Now that light is giving out light. It's a constant, right? But we don't see the fact that there's current flowing past that light to keep it lit up. It's flowing past the light. It's dipping into the light. And part of that electrical current, that it, those electrons are just manifesting as light as they flow past, back to the circuit breaker, back out again, down the hot wire, through the neutral, back to the circuit breaker. It's current. So every member of the body of Christ is what? An appliance in God's house that should be lit up by the current that flows. Your blood does the same thing in your body. It's flowing through you as a current. You got outgo and you got returns. You got arteries and what? Veins. You got a system going out, giving life to what? Every organ and cell in your body with blood that's been oxygenated, and it goes back to the heart to pump out again through your lungs to pick up what? Oxygen, and it flows again. That's how God works. But if you don't see power, it means what? You've been short-circuited. You've been grounded out. You are dealing with something in your life that cut the power off. My job, to cut the power back on, to get the current to flow. Holy Ghost power is what it's all about. There is, look, block everything else from your mind. Forget the Super Bowl, your bowl, my bowl, his bowl, all the bowls. Forget all that junk. Forget all the junk on Facebook. Get off of Facebook. Forget everybody around you. Forget every religious fanatic, every nut, every kook, every child, every mother, every father, every butcher, every baker, every candlestick maker. The only thing that matters is Holy Ghost power. That's what everything is about in the New Testament. The man says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, I didn't come to you with enticing words of man's wisdom. I came with a demonstration of power. I saw a guy the other day write an article or a post on the internet. My wife just received the baptism of the Holy Ghost this morning. Praise God. A lady responded, what exactly does that mean? They downgraded. They don't understand this is all it's about. It's not about anything else. This is it. The return of the Holy Ghost. What's the promise made to Abraham? The promise of the Spirit. Man, you got to become so narrow-minded that you don't care what people think about you. If I got to dance, run, jump when the Holy Ghost hits me, good. You're not going to get electrical power coming on anything that just stands there like, well, you hit me with 300 volts, but praise the Lord. No, man. A human is going to react to the Holy Ghost.
That's right. That's right.
I've been in meetings where folks had just to run. They just had to run. Mm-hmm. And they had to either run or explode. Some folks been touched by it. And I felt that thing well up inside of them like, man, I'm about to blow up. Somebody got to do something. Some folks will tell you, I'm about to burn up inside. The heat is so intense. That's power. You just plugged into power. And buddy, all roads lead back to one thing, power. That's why we call it Dunamis Tabernacle. It's all about power production. I ain't here to talk to nobody. I'm not here to argue. I'm not here to debate. I'm not here to go back and forth with anybody. Yes. It's time to have power production. Yes. The church should be a power plant. To the degree in Acts when they got together and prayed, the whole church shook like an earthquake was taking place. It was a power tabernacle. You put your hands on this ark, buddy, you die. Why? Current is flowing through this ark. This guy touched something that was supercharged with power and it killed him. This is a dangerous affair we're in. You're trying to handle a live wire with no insulation. Look what he says. And the light shines in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came from a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lights every man that comes into the world. Why? The light is the life of God that inspires every human being that is born. First thing they do is slap you on your butt and you begin to do what? Inspire and expire. That's the life. That's the light. It's making you alive. Every man that comes into the world is now breathing just like Adam did from the beginning. You become a soul that inspires and expires to live. You become pneumatic. And that's the life of God in you that's got you breathing. This thing here is supernatural from start to finish. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, referring to the Israelites, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he what? Power, exousia, authority, to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, his authority. Whenever you see the word name in the Bible, talk about in Jesus' name, he's talking about his authority, not using his name literally. It's nothing worse than a person that is ignorant of the Bible trying to explain the Bible. You got to baptize using his name. That's what he said. That's not talking about using his name. It's talking about baptizing under his authority. What's got the church so chaotic is so many people ignorant of the Bible are trying to teach and explain the Bible. They go to seminary and become twofold the child of hell. Because they go to a religious seminary that already has predispositions and already have belief systems that are wrong, and they just make you worse. The Bible says these blind leaders lead the blind into a ditch, and they make you twofold the child of darkness and hell. Because you took on religious inspirations from the mind of a man, not Holy Ghost revelations from the mind of God. It's a big difference. One will lead you back to the world and religious institutionalized existence. The other will lead you to heaven, setting your mind and affections above so you won't be subject to this world. You need revelations from the throne of God, not inspirations from the mind of man. Which were born, he says, they were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. They've been born of God. And the word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bare witness of him and cried, saying, this was he of whom I spake. He that comes after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. Now, you know, John the Baptist was born on earth before Jesus. And John the Baptist said, he was before me. He's the eternal one. And of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. No man have seen God at any time. Now, you get a Muslim will tell you, see, the Bible said you had never seen God. You saw Jesus, and he said no man has seen God at any time. So therefore, Jesus couldn't be God. That's logical, right? Keep reading. No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, have declared him. When he refers to God, he ain't talking about Jesus. He's talking about the Father. No man has seen the Father at any time, but the Son has declared him. Has nothing to do with Jesus not being God. But the ignorant carnal mind, trying to find a way to do what? Subvert the hearer, is trying to make you believe that Jesus, who was before John the Baptist, is not God. Crucified from the foundation of the world. All the examples of an appearance in the Bible, in the Old Testament, is Jesus. When Adam was hiding, he'd hid himself from the word of God walking through the garden in the cool of the day. It's Jesus. It's all an appearance of Jesus in the Old Testament, because Jesus is the person that comes forth representing the Godhead. He's the one that deals with us. He's the Lord over all of us. He's the governor. You don't go God direct. I'm going right to the Father. Look out, Jesus. You're going to get slapped back. Because he's the high priest that represents you before God. You come through Christ. Because you're in Christ, you get the benefits of Christ. Outside of Christ, you have nothing. He said, outside of me, you can do nothing. Look at 1 John. 1 John chapter 2. All the way back to the back of the Bible, past Hebrews to 1 John. Now we're talking about power, right? We're talking about moving that current. Electrons on the move. Spiritually speaking now. We're not talking about physical things here. We started off in the physical to get you over to the spiritual. See, that's how you have to teach people. You start with the physical and the hard realities of physics on the earth. Now we can pull you up into the realm of the spiritual to show you the parallels. That's why God made physical things. The Bible says the things that are not seen can be understood by what? The things that are seen. That's the wisdom of God. He hides himself in nature and in the physical world to explain himself. But then he has to do what? Revelate the mind so you can see it.